y'all ready for the children's sermon? Well, come on down.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good. Well, I'm super excited to see you this morning. Are y'all excited to be here today? All right. Everybody had a good week? Yes. All right. You had a good Easter. Well, that's great that you had. You got a lot of eggs too?
I got lots of eggs too.
All right. So. Oh man, doesn't that look like fun?
Yeah.
Oh, what would happen if I spilt it?
Spill it.
No. I'd have to vacuum it up, but I don't think Pastor Jeff would appreciate me vacuum during this sermon. Maybe? Y'all want me to vacuum while he's preaching today? Yay! Oh, you dropped one of my grains of rice. Oh, do you know rice is very mysterious? Do you know how it can be mysterious? Huh? No? Okay, everybody sit down and we're going to try to do this very carefully. Okay, here comes Miss Teresa. Give you some. Okay, now we may have rice, but that's okay. Okay, everybody hold out your hand. One.
I got one grain.
I know, one grain. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Okay, here we go. Who needs rice?
I need some
okay.
rice.
Okay. All right. Who else needs? Okay, you ready, Finn? Okay, you ready? Ready? Okay. Oh, do we need some rice over here, Miss Teresa? Okay, here. Oh, come up a little bit closer. There we go. Okay. Everybody has a piece of rice in your hand? Okay, well, I got several over here that got a couple of pieces of rice. Everybody else got some? Okay, that's okay. It's all right. All right, so, okay, so everybody gets some rice, right? Is my bowl empty?
Yes.
Does it look like I took any rice out of here?
Yes.
You think it did? Yeah. Nope.
Maybe we should take out a whole bunch.
Yeah, take out a whole bunch. I know, so no matter if I give everybody just a little bit of rice, does this ever get empty? It might get eventually empty, eventually, but it would take a long time if everybody just got one or two, three pieces. Yes. Oh, okay. Here you go. Here, let me give, come here, Ella. Come here, Elizabeth. Come here. You're going to have to get a little bit closer. There you go. Did you get any? Oh, here. I didn't give Miss Paisley any. Okay. There you go. So everybody's got some rice. And it did not make my bowl empty, did it? Oh, Liz, did you get some? Yeah, you got one. All right. So this did not make our bowl empty. Well, let me tell you something. This is such a mysterious thing, but let me tell you something that's more mysterious than this and what we can understand. Do you know God's love is like a bowl of rice? Did you know that? God's love. It's never empty. That's right. God gives us love. Did I give you a piece of rice?
Yes.
Yes. And I gave you another piece of rice?
Yes.
Yes. God gives us love. Does his love ever run out?
No.
No. Even if he gave it all away, does he have enough for us to fill it up again? Yeah. So when he fills you up with his love, what are you supposed to do? Give it back? How about give it to somebody else? Can you share it with somebody else? Yeah. So, and if you need love, if you need God's love, maybe because you're sad or lonely or uncertain, what can you do to get filled up with God's love? What can you do? You can pray. You can read God's word. And he fills us up. His love never, ever runs out. Did you know that is amazing that God's love never runs out? It has been from the beginning of time till forever. Is that love big? Is that love amazing?
Yeah.
Is that mysterious? Do we understand how God can love us and his love never runs out?
No,
but can we trust that God loves us?
Yeah.
And that his love never is going to run out?
No.
Yeah. So are you filled up with God's love? So if you're filled up with God's love, are you going to share it with somebody this week? Yes. Okay. It says in Lamentations 3:22, it says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. God's love is always full. His love is always, it never runs empty. Can y'all remember that for me this week? Say, God loves me. Could y'all say that with me? All right. So tell a neighbor that God loves. Say, God loves you. Important to a neighbor. God loves you. 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 So we share God's love. Do we have more to give?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you fill us with your love and that your love never ends, and that you are our God and that we can share your love with others around us. Lord, we thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go.
Well, good morning, church family. Good to see you this morning. Aren't you grateful for the love of the Lord? Amen. Well, welcome to those who are worshiping online. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through our app. I want to go over some things that are in the bulletin, a real bulletin, not a digital one, a fake bulletin, a real one. That you can actually put your hands on. You probably notice we have our cards back in the pews as well in the envelope. So we're slowly moving back to the new normal, whatever that might look like. If you're at home, you can still access that bulletin either through our website or through our app. So the 21st of April is All Church Bingo Night. It's a fundraiser for the youth. And the meal is free, but they are accepting donations for mission trips and youth camps over the summer. So that's on the 21st. The meal's at 5:30. Bingo starts at 6:30. Do we have any bingo players in the house? Any closet bingo players in the house? This is legal. I think Jesus is okay with this event. Then on May the 2nd, Senior Sunday, and you'll see in your bulletin a list of seniors that we're aware of that are graduating this year. And so if you know of a senior that is not on this list, please let Brent know. We don't want to overlook anyone. Also, that Sunday is a youth-led service for that whole Sunday. And also a discovery class on May 16th if you're new to our fellowship and want to know more about our ministries and vision for our church. You can meet with Pastor Jeff that morning at 9 a.m. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just take a little bit of time just to kind of get centered. You know, for some of us, for me, there's weeks that I'll go 3 or 4 or 5 days and not even connect with the Lord. And So it may be that way this morning for some of us, and this is an opportune time to hear him speak to him. Lord, I thank you for your love that Carlene spoke about this morning. And Father, it's a love that comes from a place that never runs dry. I thank you that your love is perfect. I thank you that your perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, if there's people this morning that are fearful, well, I just pray just for an infusion of that love into their hearts. So there will be peace and maybe in a place of maybe panic and stillness in the place of maybe chaos in their heart. God, we thank you for that love. Lord, we thank you for your grace. The grace that pursues us, the grace that sustains us. And it is absolutely amazing. The grace that covers our shortcomings. And that grace comes from a place that will never run dry, a place that will never be extinguished. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, which are new every morning. Lord, I thank you because of your mercy, we do not get what we deserve. Lord, just remind us of your mercy when we stumble. Father, we thank you for your power, the power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. And Lord, out of all of the powers that we know about on this side of eternity, military might, whatever that might be, the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is more powerful than anything man can formulate. Thank you for your power. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We thank you for the way he just lovingly and in a tender way draws our hearts back to you. In the way that he just lovingly convicts us of us living below what you have saved us to live. Thank you that he's active. I thank you that he's alive. And through him we can experience abundant life through the Son. Father, as we continue to gather together, I ask again that you protect us from illness. And Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be together. So as we continue to worship, as we sit under the Word, Holy Spirit, just as Jeff's going to preach, give us ears to hear what we need to hear this morning. I pray against all distractions. I pray against what the enemy's trying to do right now to rob things from us that you want us to receive this morning. Lord, I just pray for a mighty hedge of protection around this sanctuary. Father, just strong angelic protection. Just place a hedge about us so we won't miss anything this morning that you have for us. And Father, we love you and thank you for being a God that wants us to hear from you. I thank you also for the opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you'd like to bring, you can do it during this time. You can also give through our app or give online. And God bless you, church.
Yeah. Good morning again. Everybody doing okay? All right. Glad you are with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are joining us. And I want you to know that we are glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ from his people and through this place and through the Holy Spirit. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer down at this end and would love to meet our guests, have a free gift for them. Also, if you are online, you can you can register as a guest or as a member. You can register through our app and let us know you were here. If that went off right in the middle of my sermon, Trevor, you'd have been in trouble, buddy. All right, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are, as we just sang, you are welcome here, and we trust that you are here. We ask you now to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Communication has changed in the last, I don't know, decade or two decades or so. We do most of our communicating through this thing, don't we? There is a, you know, used to, does anybody write letters anymore? Anybody ever? You ever get a letter? I mean, it's like gold, man. When you get a letter that someone has written you at their hand, you're just like, that's golden. So one of the features on these phones that some of you may or may not know of or use is the speaker, the voice to text feature. Anybody use that? My wife wears that feature out. I walk into a room and she'll be in the other room and it'll be like, "Okay, so you're going to just come to my church." Okay. Now, the thing about that voice to text feature is you can put punctuation in there. Did you know that? So you can say something like, "Jeff, comma, when are you coming home for lunch, period?" Yes? And it puts it in there and it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. The problem is when you get used to using that feature and you then are leaving a voicemail, a true voicemail, you've called someone, Sometimes you get confused. I want to play you this little clip. Go ahead, Lee.
Good morning, sweetie. I just wanted to let you know that we're a week behind now in babysitting, comma. You probably had already figured that out, but I just wanted to touch base and make sure that you knew.
Did you pick up on it?
I just wanted to let you know that I put some of
it. Are we playing it again?
Baby powder on him because he wanted it, and it's that stuff that's made with arrowroot and ground up lavender flowers. Comment. I didn't want you to be alarmed if you saw little specks on him.
Okay. Right, I want you to know I had permission from my wife to play those clips. Reluctantly, I had her in a chokehold with her arm behind her back like this. No, I didn't. But she did give me permission. You're a true sport, Cheryl. So if any of you get a voicemail from Cheryl and you got a comma in there, you'll know why that is. All right, so we're starting a series as we talk about this how we communicate. We are starting a series today that'll be at least 3 weeks. I may, depending on how I can get it all in there, we may go even a little further than that. But learning to hear God speak. Learning to hear God speak. And today's message is developing ears to hear. Communication, it's hard. I mean, we see that. If any of you that have gone through a marriage, you understand that it takes work. I mean, we Hollywood portrays marriage. You know, your eyes meet across the room, and you fall in love immediately, and you ride off into the sunset, and everything's hunky dory. But in reality, relationships take work. Communication takes work. It has to be worked at and nurtured to be successful. And I believe that the Lord is trying to teach us some of that today. So as we unpack this parable today, the parable of the sower, just as we begin to look at this, I want to kind of point out the players in this parable. The farmer is God. The farmer is God. The seed, it says very clearly, it's God's word. So if it's God's word, then whoever's casting the seed has to be God. And then the soil, I believe, is our minds, how we process, how we communicate and process this word of God. So I want you to know I'm just setting the stage today. There's going to be these next at least couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot more stuff for us to, so don't think, oh, well, he didn't talk about this, and he didn't talk about that, because we've got some more weeks coming. But I want to just begin to set the stage for this today. We develop ears to hear when we cultivate an open mind to God's word, an open mind to God's word. Now, I want you to, the real emphasis on to God's word, because our culture wants us to have an open mind to anything and everything these days. And you hear that on all, you need to have an open mind. Well, I want to have an open mind to God. I want to know what God would tell me, so I want my mind to be open to him. So we see in verse 12 here, those along the path are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the words from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So that tells me right there, the word of God is somehow attached to our belief and our salvation, that the word of God leads us to this place of faith and salvation. I don't know. I wasn't raised on a farm or anything like that, but I've seen enough gardens and so forth. I remember, in fact, I remember when I was a little boy, we had a neighbor that was he raised a lot of strawberries, and I can remember he would have a path, because I mean he had a big field of strawberries, and he would have a path that he would walk, and where he would check on, cast this, you know, put the seed out, and he would pull weeds and nurture his crop. So the thing about that path is it becomes hard and packed, and it's not very good for raising strawberries. The other soil was tilled and was rich and so on and so forth. So we understand that when that he's saying that if the seed, God's word, if it's cast on this hardened path, if our hearts are hard, then it's not going to take root. And he talks about the devil coming and taking away that word. So I want to, three things come to my mind. There's more, but three things came to my mind that are the enemy of the seed, the enemy of God's word, things that can cause a hard and closed mind to God. And the first one is this, pride. And I want to elaborate on that a little bit. Pride meaning that if we think that we know whatever decision we're wrestling with, whatever thing is going on, if we think I don't need God on this one, like, God, I'm going to hold you back in reserve, I'll let you know if I need you kind of a deal, then that is pride. Anytime we fail to pray about something, we are saying, I don't need God on this decision. I've got it. Yes, anybody ever done that besides me? It could be things that's like, man, I really want this. So I'm afraid God might even say no on this one. So I got it, God. I got it. So we trudge ahead. That's pride. It works against an open mind to God's word. Second thing, fear. If I pray and God asks me to do something that I don't want then that's fear. Now I've used this example before, but it's a real life example that came to my mind. When I was transitioning from the computer world into the ministry, I told you that there was a year or so there where things just weren't doors weren't opening that I thought were going to open, and it just wasn't happening. And I had left a career in computers that I'd spent 20 years building that career and had attained a good position with a lot of security and benefits and all those things, and I had walked away from that. And then over that period of that year, because things weren't happening, I began to be fearful. I began to be fearful. God, did I not hear something correctly? Where are you, God? And I remember it. And our finance, we had some savings, and we were trying to sell our house and get out from under a lot of debt, and the house wasn't selling like we wanted it to, and just all our savings was just going down the tubes. And I remember I began to be fearful, and so I began to check the want ads in the paper. That's back in the day when people actually had paper newspapers, had want ads. Some of you older folks can tell your kids about that. But I remember I started checking the want ads, and I found this bank, this actually a chain of banks, was looking for an IT manager. And so I went to this bank, and I applied, and I got the job. And I went to my first day at work, and I came home that day, and Cheryl said, how'd it go? And I said, it went great, but I can't explain it. And this is a very theological word. I'm not sure the Greek, but you can look it up. I just felt yucky. You know the Greek for that, Marv? You don't have a Greek word for yucky. Okay. I didn't have a peace in my spirit. That day, everything went great, but I knew in my spirit I had acted out of fear rather than trust. That hard path. And Cheryl said, I've felt the same way all day. So I called up my boss of one day, and I said, man, I'd rather do this to you now than 6 months from now. I can't stay on. I said, don't pay me. Let's chalk it up as a bad experiment. I wish I'd have kept that I got a check for one day's work. He said, no, I've got to pay you. And I just said, hey, I just know that I'm not supposed to be here. So we can close our mind off from God through fear. Bitterness is the third way it's the third enemy to an open mind of God's word. Maybe we don't trust God because of past hurts or past unforgiveness. I'm telling you, a hardened heart, man, bitterness and unforgiveness is a cancer to our soul. Is this on? It is a cancer to our soul. A hardened heart, a hardened path is a closed mind. When we have bitterness and unforgiveness, it's like, I would like to trust God in this, but I've been hurt when I've done that before. Or that I might have to, if I actually do this, I might actually have to forgive this person. And so we set that aside, and it is an enemy to an open mind to God's word. Okay, secondly, we develop ears to hear when we allocate time to listen. When we allocate time to listen. Verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. This is kind of a sensitive area for me, and I'll tell you why. Time with God, I do better, and I'm going to talk about this later in the series more, but I do better in community. I'm a people person, relational, and Cheryl's much better and stronger in regards to just quiet, alone time with God. I find myself when I'm trying to just by myself get alone and be quiet and pray, I find myself going, man, you know, that ceiling could really use some paint, you know. I get distracted because I'm relational. So for me, to help me in the discipline of listening to God, I remember this early on, 25, 30 years ago, when I first started kind of walking more solidly with the Lord, I was intentional about joining Bible studies, what we call community groups, Sunday school classes, anywhere where I could spend time with God and God's Word with God's people. And that's just the way I tend to, it's a stronger way that I relate to God. We schedule, once again, going back, this, if I ever lose the saved settings from this, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing, you know, a month from now, because it's all, I keep my schedule right here. We schedule everything. Do we really prioritize and schedule time with God? It's important to allocate time to listen. I believe one of the biggest enemies, and I believe this is the devil's number one weapon against us. Are you ready? Here it is. Busyness. I see it all the time with people. Sometimes I'll have people, they'll join the church, and then I never see them again. What's that about? Well, I'm really not sure how it all the dynamics, but one of the things is I think we fill our schedule with so much stuff. Some of it's good stuff. A lot of it's good stuff. Through the week, we got work and kids and family and all these things, and then we got to get in some fun in there. And then by Sunday, we're exhausted. Yes? We're exhausted, and it's just like, man, I just need a day to recover. Well, I'm just telling you, that formula, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in life. I mean, it may work for a while. You may be able to kind of prop, to me, it's just kind of like propping sticks under you just to keep you going for another week. But without, I tell people, I've got a couple that I'm visiting with now, and I'm like, you know, marital stuff, and I'm like, man, plug into a church. It doesn't have to be Wiley Methodist Church. Find a church that you like. Find a church that blesses you, where there's other people that you can, you know, share with. But allocate that time to be in fellowship and worship. And some of you who've been out because of COVID and other things about for years, and you're now kind of coming back. Isn't it good to be in, with God's people? Isn't it good to be back? There's just something replenishing to me, not as a pastor, but as a follower of Jesus. It's like, man, I don't know about you needing me, but I need you. Allocate time to listen to God, to be with God's people. Just as the hardened path that we talked about first is a closed mind, the rocky path is a shallow mind. Is this on? It's a shallow mind. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the third point. We develop ears to hear when we eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. Now listen to this list, Jesus says. Worries, riches, pleasures. That's the list. Those are the distractions that Jesus lists in this parable. Worries are not a good thing. It's not bad to have some financial gain. It's not bad to have things that you enjoy in life, pleasures. But when those things become distractions to our time and our intimacy with God, they become bad. And listen to what life's worries, riches, and pleasures, when we focus too much on that, here's what he says. We don't mature. I'm telling you, I know people that accepted Christ and they're deeper in their walk with Christ a month later than somebody who's been a Christian for 40 years. Why is that? Because we don't dig in, we don't get deeper with our walk with the Lord. And we've got all these distractions in our life. Worries, riches, pleasures, and they distract us and we don't mature. We just kind of keep repeating the same thing. And it's like we just kind of in this little cycle of like, well, I know I've been a Christian for 40 years, but I'm only a month mature in the Lord. And I just keep repeating that same month. We develop ears to hear when we eliminate distractions. I remember Camp Looters Encampment. Myra, where's Myra? There's our Looters girl right there. They have a camp out there that walks to Emmaus and different church retreats and so forth are held out there. And they've got, and it's kind of out in the sticks, okay? And it's a two-story facility. And when I've been out there working on walks to Emmaus or whatever, I remember that most of the camp, you go to use this, check your text or check email or do anything, make a phone call or anything. It's like, no signal. No signal. Well, when you go upstairs and there's this one little corner. I mean, how many of you know what I'm fixing to say? Been out there. There's this one little corner. You go upstairs and you walk down to the end of the deal and you're like, okay, Cheryl, everything's going good. We're having a good week. You know, it's like you got one little probably square foot of signal at this camp. Well, I want to tell you, with the Lord, seek that square foot. Seek it out. Where you hear from the Lord. Eliminate those distractions in your life. It doesn't mean, it's not bad to have things, if you like to golf or fish or go shopping with the girls or whatever it is, those are not bad things. But when they begin to keep you from growing more intimate with the Lord, they turn into bad things. And the list is a lot bigger than those things I just mentioned. It takes it takes care to grow flowers. Weeds come up all by themselves. Did you know that? Yeah, you have to nurture a flower, but man, you don't have to nurture weeds. Finally, we developed ears to hear when we cooperate with what God says. In other words, as James puts it, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely just like, hey, I got some good soil here and I got some good seed. It's like, no, do something with that. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And that goes back to all these things that I'm talking about when we have the pride and the fear and the bitterness, all those things. It's like there's this kind of this fear, like if I really, have you ever known anybody? I've talked to people that I'd really like to get closer to God, and I'd really like to, you know, accept him as my Savior and all, but I'm scared to death he's going to want me to move to Africa and be a you know, what's the word? Yeah, missionary. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I'm scared to death. And you know what I tell people that? If God wants you, if you surrender to God and he wants you to be a missionary in Africa, you're going to be so excited about that. You're going to be so excited about that. When we surrender to God and we are truly seeking to hear from him and to be responsive to what we hear, I promise you, it's not going to be drudgery. Now, it may be difficult if you're seeking God and he says, you need to forgive so-and-so, that's going to be hard. But I'm telling you, the fruit of doing it will be glorious. There'll be a weight lifted off your shoulders. He who has ears, Jesus says, let him hear. Let him do it. Produce a crop. As the praise team comes back up, just let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to ask you, Lord, to forgive me for the times that I don't seek you with all my heart. When I let pride or fear or bitterness or other things, distractions, busyness, when I let those things come between me and you, I pray that you'd forgive me. Father, you are a good God and you love us, and there is nothing that you want for us except good things. In fact, your word says, Lord, you say to us, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's your heart for us. May we seek you with all our hearts. May we learn to hear your voice. May we produce a crop. May we be fruitful with what you tell us. Mature us, oh God. We pray that our hearts and our minds would be fertile and rich soil. We love you. We trust you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to stand if you are able, and as we close, the altar is open. Again, I will be out at the foyer to greet our guests at the end of the service.
Breathing in life.
Good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Go and produce a crop, church, and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone.
And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.